When boring stocks break out. Welcome to this audio issue of Porter Stansberry's Complete Investor, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. Good news for our portfolio and a positive signal for the U.S. economy. Energy was our top investment theme entering 2026, and we haven't been disappointed. The broad energy sector, as tracked by the State Street Energy Select Sector SPDR ETF, XLE, broke out to an all-time high in January. And our complete investor energy recommendations have performed well, up an average of 13% year-to-date, YTD, versus a decline of around 1% in the S&P 500. But energy isn't the only notable outperformance YTD. As market darlings like technology and software stocks have cooled off or worse, see our update on customer management platform Salesforce, NYSE, CRM, below. There has been a rotation into stocks in less popular sectors and industries like materials, industrials, transportation, and consumer staples, all of which have also broken out to all-time highs this year. For the first time in years, we're seeing significant outperformance in real economy stocks, those that produce tangible goods and services that have been largely forgotten during the big tech and AI boom. This week's list of 52-week highs includes such boring names as Coca-Cola, KO, Johnson & Johnson, J&J, FedEx, FTX, and Caterpillar, CAT, as well as several of our favorite complete investor forever stocks like British American Tobacco, NYSE, BTI, Deere & Company, NYSE, DE, and the Hershey Company, NYSE, HSY. This is good news for our portfolio, but it's also a positive signal for the U.S. economy. Unlike the broad market indexes, which due to their heavy market cap weighting to technology can diverge significantly from the real economy at times, these stocks are more directly tied to economic activity and consumer spending. And while they aren't necessarily dependent on a strong economy to perform, they tend to do better when the economy is humming along. Since the COVID-19 pandemic, we've heard frequent talk of the K-shaped economy. This is the idea that the fortunes of wealthy and higher-income Americans have recovered and improved, the top arm of the K, while those of lower and middle-income earners have deteriorated, the bottom arm of the K. Intuitively, this makes sense. Those at the top have benefited tremendously from higher asset prices over the past several years. They've also benefited from the Fed's aggressive rate hikes, which have allowed them to earn relatively high, risk-free yields by parking excess cash in short-term treasury bills. On the other hand, those on the bottom, who naturally own far fewer assets, have seen their wages eroded by inflation without the offsetting benefit of higher asset prices. Meanwhile, the Fed's higher-for-longer interest rate policy has made credit much more expensive and difficult to access. The net result of this divergence has been an economy that has muddled along for the past several years. Growth has remained tepid at best, yet the economy has also continued to defy many economists' predictions of a recession. The following chart of the Institute of Supply Management's ISM, Manufacturing Purchasing Managers, Index, PMI, illustrates this point. As you can see, rather than the sharp V-shaped recovery we've seen following previous slowdowns, this indicator of economic activity has remained in slight contraction, below 50 on the chart, for most of the past 3 years. But this may finally be changing. Earlier this week, the ISM reported that the PMI moved sharply higher into expansion territory, 52.6, in January for the first time since 2022. While 1 month does not make a trend, and commentary from purchasing managers suggest at least some of this improvement was due to post-holiday restocking and customers trying to get ahead of tariff-related price increases, this report adds further credence to the breakout in real economy stocks. It suggests the U.S. economy could be re-accelerating for the first time in years. Of course, plenty of risks to both the economy and markets remain. The U.S. government's runway spending shows no signs of slowing. Inflation remains sticky. And while the Trump administration has taken some positive steps, via deregulatory efforts and pro-growth initiatives in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, such as no tax on tips and 100% bonus depreciation for businesses, its aggressive tariff policies are still a significant headwind. Kevin Warsh, President Trump's nominee for the next chair of the Federal Reserve, is also a wild card. Warsh has publicly agreed with the president on lowering interest rates further, arguing that AI-fueled productivity gains will give the Fed room to cut rates without stoking inflation. However, as Porter explained in a recent Daily Journal, Warsh has also been a harsh critic of the Fed's quantitative easing (QE) programs and has advocated winding down its bloated balance sheet and limiting the central bank's purchases to short-term treasury bills in emergencies only. Warsh still has to be confirmed as chair, and it's not yet clear to what extent, or how quickly, he would seek to enact this kind of regime change at the Fed. But as Porter noted, if Warsh is determined to unwind the Fed's balance sheet and end the Greenspan put, a severe recession may be unavoidable. For now, we see no reason to make significant changes to our portfolio. We continue to recommend focusing on high-quality companies with attractive valuations and healthy free cash flows that can generate strong risk-adjusted returns in any market environment. In this issue of Complete Investor, we provide updates on 11 stocks in our recommended portfolio, including three of our favorite property and casualty, P&C, insurance firms, an under-the-radar company poised to return to growth, and a fast-growing e-commerce giant trading at a distressed valuation due to overblown regulatory fears. P&C insurance continues to compound. There's a reason Warren Buffett kept about 50% of Berkshire Hathaway's assets in property and casualty, P&C, insurance. These are some of the best businesses in the world. We continue to view Buffett's allocation strategy as wise. If you don't own shares in any of the Complete Investor P&C insurance companies, we suggest starting with WR Berkley, NYSE, WRB. Porter first recommended it in 2012. Since then, it has earned, on average, total returns of 15.5% a year. The company just reported 2025 annual revenue of $14.7 billion, 7.6% increase from 2024, and earnings per share, EPS, of $1.13, 4.6% increase from 2024. Total net premiums written notched a new record $12.7 billion. The single most important metric in P&C insurance is the combined ratio. It shows the company's combined costs. Operating ratio plus underwriting ratio equals combined ratio. Firms with combined ratios under 90 will almost always outperform the stock market. Here's why. With a combined ratio of 89.4%, WR Berkley earns more than 10 cents on every dollar of premium before even considering investment gains. That's a 10% head start on the market. Over the past 12 months, WRB is up 15.2%. Action to take. Buy WR Berkley, NYSE, WRB, up to $80 per share. We recommended Axis Capital, NYSE, AXS, in July because it is in the midst of a successful turnaround. Axis has been letting go of its reinsurance business while building more profitable specialty P&C lines. We expected to see a big improvement in its combined ratio and substantial earnings growth. And the company delivered. In 2025, Axis grew revenue 9% to $6.56 billion with a combined ratio of 89.8%, down substantially from 92.3% in 2024. With the stock now trading over $105 per share, it's up 6% from when we recommended it and remains below our buy up to price of $120. And we think it will continue to rise. Action to take. Buy Axis Capital, NYSE, AXS, up to $120 per share. Chubb, NYSE, CB, is another P&C company we recommended that recently released 2025 earnings on February 3rd. The company had best-in-class underwriting, with a combined ratio of 85.7%, a slight drop from the 86% number in 2024, and a net income increase of 11.2% year-over-year, YI. Action to take. Buy Chubb, NYSE, CB, up to $355 per share. Credit acceptance. Tightening lending standards. Credit acceptance, NASDAQ, CAC, provides financing to thousands of buy here, pay here car lots, placing much of the risk of these subprime loans onto the dealers, creating an admirably capital-efficient business model. The result? High returns on equity and massive share buybacks. Last year it repurchased 1.6 million shares, 16% of all the shares, worth $800 million. By reducing the share count, Credit Acceptance pushed EPS up 11.6% despite a paltry 1% growth in its loan portfolio. As some competitors, like online car seller Carvana, CVNA, have flooded the market with unprofitable loan underwriting, Credit Acceptance has tightened its lending standards, increasing profitability while losing loan volume. We believe that's the right strategy, and we think, over the long term, its buyback strategy and cautious approach to lending will create massive shareholder value. Action to take. Buy Credit Acceptance, NASDAQ, CAC, up to $500 per share. Stagnant Danaher is poised to resume growth. Danaher, NYSE, DHR, a holding company that grows primarily through acquisitions, is, more or less, a publicly traded private equity firm. Famed for its Danaher business system approach that stresses efficiency in all operations, the company is one of the most successful businesses of the last 30 years. From the early 1990s through 2021, revenue grew from under $1 billion to over $24 billion. But since we recommended it in March 2024, shares have been relatively stagnant, down 6% since then. The core reason for its stagnation is the worst biotech bear market of all time. Danaher's largest ever acquisition was the $21 billion purchase of GE Healthcare Life Sciences, now called Cytiva, in 2020. The biopharma company makes a broad range of products used in biotech research and production, and it boomed during the COVID. But like many biotech businesses, it has suffered from bloated inventories in the post-COVID biotech bust. Today, Cytiva makes up about 30% of Danaher's revenue, and, as biotech returns to growth, we expect its results to materially improve in 2026. We're seeing signs of that improvement already. Danaher's Q4 revenue was up 4.5% year-over-year, beating expectations. Action to take. Buy Danaher, NYSE, DHR, up to $270 per share. Annaly's diversification strategy leads to massive growth. Annaly Capital Management, NYSE, NLY, has long been the largest and best-run mortgage real estate investment trust, right? Its business model was easy to understand. It buys agency mortgage-backed securities, MBS, loans packaged by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that have full principal protection insurance. Following that model in the past meant that Annaly hasn't been taking any credit risk. Today, however, the company is growing fast by moving into new areas of the mortgage business. In 2025, Annaly became the second largest buyer of mortgage servicing rights, MSR. Its MSR portfolio reached $3.8 billion in market value, up 15% from 2024 and representing about 19% of the firm's dedicated capital. This made Annaly the sixth largest non-bank agency servicer overall. These rights represent more than just a new revenue stream. They are a natural hedge against the main risk that Annaly faces, a decline in the value of its mortgages because of rising interest rates. MSRs represent the contractual right to collect fees, typically 0.25% to 0.50% of the loan balance annually, for administering mortgage loans, such as processing payments, managing escrow, and handling delinquencies. The value is thus highly sensitive to prepayment speed. Faster prepayments, common in falling rate environments, shorten the expected life of the servicing cash flows, reducing the MSR value. Conversely, when rates rise, prepayments slow dramatically as borrowers are less inclined to refinance, extending the duration of those cash flows and boosting MSR valuations. This convexity provides a counterbalance to agency MBS, which typically lose value in rising rate scenarios. For Annaly, whose core holdings are agency MBSs, MSRs thus act as an effective interest rate hedge, diversifying income streams and stabilizing returns amid volatility. This MSR expansion aligns with Annaly's longer-term goal of reallocating capital away from pure agency MBS, which comprised 62% of its portfolio by year-end 2025, toward higher-yielding, less rate-sensitive assets like residential credit, 19%, and MSR, 19%, targeting an eventual mix of roughly 50% agency, 30% residential credit, and 20% MSR. The strategic shift has led to explosive returns. The stock, with dividends, returned 40% in 2025. In Q4, revenue reached $921.8 million, a massive beat against the $675.8 million analysts had projected. This top-line explosion was fueled by a 30% YoY growth in Annaly's total mortgage portfolio, now at $104.7 billion. Action to take, buy Annaly Capital Management, NYSE, NLY, up to $24 per share coupon. Regulatory fear creates a buy opportunity. South Korean e-commerce giant Coupang Nasdaq, CPNG, continues to trade under the cloud of peak regulatory fear, yet managed to deliver a robust Q3 2025 performance that showcased the compounding power of its rocket delivery network. The company reported revenue of $9.3 billion, up 18% YoY. EBITDA surged 20% to $413 million, far exceeding the consensus of $324 million. Despite the excellent execution, Coupang shares remain down approximately 44% from their 52-week high, and an October data breach affected approximately 33.7 million Coupang users and has led to a massive regulatory response from the South Korean government. Regulators have launched labor probes, special tax audits, and investigations into membership cancellation practices. Two major U.S. shareholders, venture capital firms Green Oaks and Altimeter Capital, have formally petitioned the U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer, arguing the data breach is being used by the South Korean government as a pretext for selectively targeting Coupang to benefit competitors. Coupang faces a potential $680 million fine and has already committed $1.17 billion to customer compensation. Despite these problems, the underlying business continues to compound. Coupang has become the de facto Amazon of South Korea, with market share rising from 2.3% in 2018 to 15% in 2024, driven by its unmatched rocket delivery network. This model is now being exported to Taiwan, where management reports triple-digit revenue growth that mirrors the early South Korea playbook. At $19 per share, Coupang trades at less than 1x forward sales and a 60% discount to Amazon AMZN, despite materially faster growth. And, like Amazon, Coupang stands to see massive benefits accrue from robotics and automation. Coupang's Daegu Fulfillment Center, Asia's largest, reduces manual labor by 65%, structurally lowering unit costs. We continue to view Coupang as a high-quality logistics utility trading at a distressed valuation and recommend buying under $25 per share. Action to take: buy Coupang, NASDAQ, CPNG, up to $25 per share, putting a stop loss on Salesforce shares of Salesforce, NYSE, CRM. I have become swept up in the wide-scale selling of software stocks in recent weeks, with virtually every company in the sector down 30% to 50% from their recent highs. The market is beginning to price in a classic disruption cycle in software, a phenomenon Porter described in the February 4th Daily Journal. To summarize, anytime a new technology unleashes massive productivity gains, a lot of people lose their jobs. Today, new AI tools are making knowledge workers more productive. The inevitable consequence is that a lot of them will lose their jobs, as Porter explained. Today, most knowledge workers use software tools. These tools are sold to enterprises using a per-seat licensing model, and these licenses are expensive. Salesforce, CRM, typically charges $500 per month, per seat, for its licenses. As more knowledge work is done by AI agents, not humans, the per-seat licensing model of software companies will be destroyed. While this will disrupt many existing software business models, some will find a way to win. And Salesforce is making all the right moves to get on the right side of this trend. The company is actively transforming its business model from selling seats to selling access to autonomous AI agents. This includes the introduction of agentic enterprise license agreements. Instead of charging a flat seat fee, they can now charge fees based on the number of agents or the consumption rate of certain activities, i.e. $2 per conversation. CEO Mark Benioff has stated that AI allows Salesforce to increase the monetization of its customers by 3x to 4x. The basic argument is that if a company reduces its headcount 10% with AI agents, Salesforce can command premium prices while still unleashing significant cost savings to its customers. Business is growing fast, with Data Cloud crossing over $1.4 billion in annual recurring revenue last year, up from just $400 million in 2023. And overall, Salesforce shows no signs of imminent disruption. Revenue and earnings are growing at mid-single-digit rates, and if Salesforce can effectively make the transition to agent-based software tools, it can become one of the big winners of the AI revolution. However, we recognize that in a technological revolution, things can change fast, and today's leaders can just as easily end up becoming overtaken by tomorrow's new upstarts. Given these new risks to the business, we're changing our recommendation to hold, and we're also implementing a stop loss at $175 per share. If Salesforce closes below $175, we recommend selling your shares. Action to take: hold Salesforce, NYSE, CRM, with a stop loss at $175 per share. Eli Lilly rallies on another blockbuster quarter. Pharma giant Eli Lilly, NYSE, LLY, beat expectations across the board in its Q4 earnings report released this week, with a 43% YoY revenue increase to $19.3 billion. The main drivers included a 110% YoY increase in sales of Lilly's diabetes drug Mounjaro and a 123% YoY jump in sales of weight loss drug Zepbound. LLY shares have gained 42% since our June 2025 complete investor recommendation and 67% since we made it a best buys in August. Eli Lilly's strength lies in a combination of high-demand products, a deep pipeline, and a massive competitive moat. Lilly is currently one half of a global duopoly, alongside Novo Nordisk, in the weight loss market, which is projected to exceed $100 billion by 2030. However, Lilly has recently begun to pull ahead. While its competitor Novo warned of a potential sales decline in 2026 due to pricing pressures, Lilly expects double-digit growth, showcasing its ability to drive volume even as prices fluctuate. Lilly isn't just relying on injectables. It has filed for approval for orforglipron, a once-daily oral weight loss pill that could be a massive catalyst in 2026. It is also diversifying into other high-need areas like Alzheimer's with Kisunla, which continues to gain market share. Pharmaceutical success often boils down to supply. Lilly has invested billions, including a $55 billion multi-year capital expenditure program, into state-of-the-art manufacturing facilities in Pennsylvania, Alabama, and Europe. By owning the supply chain, it ensures it can actually deliver the drugs the world is clamoring for. And given this performance and the outlook for the future, we are raising our buy-up to price from $900 to $1,100 per share. Action to take: buy Eli Lilly, NYSE, LLY, up to $1,100 per share. Hershey hits one-year high. On earnings beat, Porter first recommended the Hershey Company, NYSE, HSY, in 2007, and did so again for Porter & Company Complete Investor subscribers in 2024. This week, shares broke out to a one-year high and jumped above our buy-up to price of $200. In its latest quarterly report released this morning, Hershey beat earnings guidance, reporting full-year 2025 sales of $11.69 billion, a 4.4% increase over 2024. This growth was largely driven by a 9% price realization, which helped offset a 3% decline in sales volume. Earlier in 2025, the company lowered its expectations due to the cocoa crisis, projecting adjusted EPS would be down 37% for the year. However, the final results showed they managed to limit that decline to 32.7%, finishing the year with an adjusted EPS of $6.31. Q4 was the primary catalyst for the beat. Hershey posted an adjusted EPS of $1.71, which was roughly 22% higher than the $1.40 analysts were expecting. Hershey shares have had a significant recovery leading up to today's announcement. After a rocky 2024 and early 2025 where shares were weighed down by commodity inflation fears, the stock has rallied roughly 23% over the last 3 months. The company's 2026 guidance is in the $8.20 to $8.52 EPS range, which is far more optimistic than the $7.09 analysts had predicted. The market is now pricing in a margin recovery year as the company moves past the worst of its high-cost cocoa hedges. Action to take: hold the Hershey Company, NYSE, HSY, until it falls below $200 per share. Uber boosts operating profits. Uber Technologies, NYSE, Uber, 2025 results solidified its transition from an idealistic startup to a disciplined powerhouse, defined largely by the quality of its bottom line. While net income grew a modest 2% YoY to $10.05 billion, this figure masks a massive operational leap. In 2024, the profit was significantly inflated by a one-time $6.4 billion tax benefit. By contrast, 2025's bottom line was powered by a nearly 100% surge in operating income, which jumped from $2.8 billion to $5.6 billion. This shift signals that Uber is now generating substantial profits from its core services rather than relying on accounting maneuvers or investment revaluations, which created a $1.6 billion drag in the final quarter of the year. The company successfully maintained its 2020 standard throughout 2025, marking its fifth consecutive year of roughly 20% growth in annual gross bookings. Total bookings reached $193.5 billion, a 19% increase, and total revenue rose 18% to $52.0 billion. Looking ahead, Uber is leveraging this financial strength to dominate the next frontier of transportation through its AV-agnostic platform strategy. The company generated a staggering $9.8 billion in free cash flow for the year, a 42% increase that has allowed it to fund a $1.5 billion share repurchase program, while simultaneously investing in deep autonomous vehicle partnerships with NVIDIA, NASDAQ, NVDA, and Lucid, LCID. By hitting a milestone of 202 million monthly active users, Uber has created a massive demand moat that autonomous developers now view as the essential go-to-market network. This combination of top-tier growth and surging cash flow suggests that Uber is no longer just a ride-hailing app, but the primary operating system for global local commerce. Action to take: buy Uber Technologies, NYSE, Uber, up to $100 per share. Porter & Company. Stevenson, Maryland, thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter & Company. We hoped you enjoyed this audio issue. In addition to this issue, you should check out our top three best buys, where we highlight three current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point today. You can find the top three best buys under the Best Buys link on our site at porterandcompanyresearch.com.